people end up staying longer than they should have just because they're holding on to that hope, right? The potential. If he were to change, then this would work out. If he would treat me differently, if he stopped doing this, if he stopped drinking, if he was home more.
The Ugly Truth of Divorce podcast with Sam and Leah, helping you not just survive, but thrive.
We're going to talk about 5 questions to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. Should I be getting a divorce?
Yeah.
You know,
like, this is a good one.
Where did you find this? And then we're going to kind of go into something else a little bit.
Yeah, I actually found this a couple of years ago. I think it might have been a therapist that I was following on Instagram. I should have wrote down actually her name too, but I just wrote down the questions because I was like, these are really fucking good.
Right.
Because that is a question that I get. You know, people will DM me, you know, on TikTok or Instagram and just say, hey, this is where I'm at. I've been following you for a while. I feel like I need to leave. How do you know when it's time to throw in the towel? Yeah. And so these are just great questions to have on hand to be able to give people so that it helps them gain more clarity.
Did you do any kind of research before you, like, did you ever sit on it and think, okay, let me take one of those old school quizzes in the magazine to figure out if I have more A's than B's, I should get divorced? Or did you just have this gut feeling like,
yeah, I just had that gut feeling that kept coming up. Like, it was like, I would get this feeling and then I would be like, okay, I'm going to sit on that for a little while. And then something else would happen. And then that feeling would come back again. And then after, like, you know, I think on average, it says that it takes about 2 years of someone.
I will attest to that.
A while. We don't just like at the first sign, like jump to divorce, right? It's something that we like consider and think about and contemplate and try to not do, right? But then you get to a point where you're like, well, I think this is the only option left. So, you know, as always, this episode brought to you by The Next Chapter, our TNC monthly membership. And we're going to head in there every Thursday. Every Monday, we do the live workshops on different topics. And then every Thursday, we go back in and do a live Q&A. So any questions members have, they get to post and we answer them for them. They get both coaches. Mm-hmm. And then spring is coming, guys. Big changes are happening. So right now you can get into that monthly membership for still only $30. We launched this last summer. It's very popular. It's something that a lot of our clients end up going into. But the price is going up. So you can get in now for $30 or starting April 1st, the price is actually going to increase to $97 for any new member. So if you're already in there, you're locked in. You're grandfathered in at that $30. That's not going up. But for new members starting April 1st, it is going up because there's just you're getting so much value. There's so much information that we're giving you all week long, every week, different topics. Sometimes we even have guests come in like therapists, financial coaches, health and wellness coaches. I mean, we're really giving you tons of shit. So the price is now going to be reflective of all of the value that you offer. So get in while you can, guys. It's, you know, $30, cancel whenever you want. But that's where we're going to head in after this.
Yeah. I mean, and get to be able to get your questions answered, because both you and I do consults where we talk to people for a half hour. You know, you do clarity sessions and I do consults. But inside The Next Chapter, since it is such an exclusive group, we go in like we are right after this, because today is Thursday when we're recording this. We're going in right after this and going to be answering those questions that people post and ask. And we're even changing it again in April. We're going to be posting day-to-day questions to really just get that dialogue going, because we both have support groups. So I'm going to be honest, our support groups are getting really large and things get kind of lost in the mix and you don't get our one-on-one attention because there is so many people there. So that's where we're really going to be exclusively, you know, putting a lot of our attention is into The Next Chapter. So be thinking about that again. Those of you that are already in, you're grandfathered in, you get locked in at that $30, but anybody that joins us April 1st and beyond, we are going to be charging what the value is actually worth, which is $97. So let's jump into some questions. Okay. What is the first question that I should ask myself if I'm sitting with my just shitty ex-husband? Well, he's my husband still. And I'm sitting on the bed going,
or partner. Oh, yeah.
We just got in the most horrific fight. For the 97th time, you know, what's the first question I'm asking?
What do I need to be asking myself? So question number one, do I actually want the relationship to improve, or have I already given up and checked out on some level?
Mm.
That's a good one, right?
That's a good one.
Because because people are usually like, okay, well, what about couples therapy? Great.
Yeah.
But that takes two people to be in it, right? You have to be invested in it and you have to really want things to work.
To work, not to go and say, Leah, you're wrong. I told you, see, here's a third party. I think too many couples go to couples therapy for that therapist to say, you've been running your mouth too much. See, the therapist said, you're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong.
They're going for validation
that they're not an asshole or a bitch about something. Yeah.
But it's like, you need to really both want it to work. And do you like, is that what you want? Or these are questions that these are really like, you need to be honest with yourself about. Right.
Right.
And it's like, or am I already checked out? And I certainly had gotten to that point. Like I can just remember very clearly at the end of my second marriage, we didn't even talk about counseling wasn't even something that we were going to consider because I was already like, no, this isn't going to work out. I'm not going to go to counseling because I already know I don't want to be with you. Right. So if you're already checked out, you know, that is a big flag.
Mine was, he would just say to get me back on that hamster wheel, he would say, let's do therapy. And then in the 4 years that we were together, not one appointment was ever made. Like it was always like to end the fight or to get me to stop being mad
to pull me back in.
It was like, I'll go to therapy with you. I'll go to therapy with you. And it's like, but sitting there, if I was honest with myself, when he would say that, I'd be like, fuck, I don't want it to work.
Right.
You know, like I want the fight to end. Don't get me wrong, but I don't want it. I don't see, I think I could clearly see therapy was not going to fix our issue.
Right.
And I didn't want it to fix an issue. I knew this issue was unresolvable. And it was like, no. So I think that's a good question. Like, I didn't want our relationship to work. I just wanted somebody to be the bad guy to say, big, bad mistake. Let's end this shit and move on with our lives. Cool. I agree with that one. That's a good question. All right. What's question number two?
Okay. So question number two, what specifically would need to change in order for the relationship to feel viable? And are there reasonable grounds for believing those changes are likely?
A new person.
Yeah.
If it was somebody else, I'd stick around.
That's a great question because you have to ask yourself, like, does this person need to just change, like morph into an entirely different human being in order for this to work? Right.
Right.
And if so, how likely is that to happen? Or are there things that if that person and yourself are willing to work on and invest in, are the odds of that happening high, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, and this is kind of part of the other question too, so I won't go on it, but you have to really go based on what's actually happening in the relationship. If there's been an issue and it's been like fucking Groundhog Day and it's just coming up again and again and again and again, and there just doesn't seem to be any resolution, then what is the likelihood of that actually changing? If you've expressed, if you've talked about it, if you've thought about it, right? If this person knows what the issue is and they haven't been addressing it, then what's the likelihood that what needs to change in order for the relationship to work? What's the likelihood that it actually will happen?
I think if I look back on I dated a lot of narcs through high school as well.
Too.
And know your type, right? And I think it was always, I was in a relationship and I was the one serving the whole relationship and I never got service back. Like if you would have asked any of the guys I've ever dated, and even my ex-husband, he didn't know my interests. He didn't know my passions. He didn't know my favorite color. I was always the one that was so invested into that person. Like again, that chameleon type behavior of like, let me morph into your world and make your life better and make you feel, you know, all this. But then when it would come back the other, it was never back the other way. There was never like a, let me go support you. I remember I coached basketball for the first few years of the marriage, because that's what I did before I was married. Mm-hmm. And so I was coaching basketball at this small town that was his hometown. And I had babies like right away. Right. And I got pregnant, had a baby and I had to coach with the baby in the fucking front harness, because if I wanted to go do my thing, you had to take the baby with you. But he would come sometimes to the game. So everybody would see him just trying real hard in the front row with, you know, the baby and my stepson, like, oh, look at me, you know, I'm allowing her to go do her thing, but look how hard my life is that I have to do all this dadding while she's over there coaching.
Right. And when I get home, I'm going to bitch at her about it.
Oh my God. But then there'd be sometimes he would just like get sick of it. Like I got to go do my thing. So here I would literally have my stepson sitting on the bench with me and my baby in a fucking carrier on me as I'm coaching because he had to go do his thing. And then I would be like, should I stop coaching? Because this is, there was never like this push to be who I wanted to be and like things that made me happy. And so I always kept holding on to, well, maybe he'll change and he'll see it. Maybe he'll see that I need to have my thing too. But no, I mean, it was one way mirror all the time. One way mirror, like never, never. So yeah, I think I never saw a possibility of him changing.
Yeah. Same with me. Like, I mean, there was, especially my second marriage, there was a lot of lying. There was a lot of lying going on his end. And so it was just like, what is the likelihood of him just not doing that anymore? It's not great. It's kind of just who he is, right? Like, it's not like the likelihood is not good. All right. So question number three, has there ever existed a version of this relationship that was healthy and where each of our needs were being met? Or am I holding on based solely on hope or future potential?
I think holding on to the very beginning of the relationship when it was like cool and easy and like everybody was like kumbaya. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I mean, my marriage was short. It was only 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I think I was holding on to that beginning phase where like, where did all the swooing go? Like, where did all the like you this, imagine, you that? And like, I mean, granted, if I really look back, it was pretty short lived, but I think I was always like, how do we get that back? How do I, what was I doing to where he was so nice to me back then?
Right.
You know, and again, even just saying that out loud now, I'm like,
yeah, well, again, classic narc move. That's how, right. They love bomb you. They tell you what you want to hear. They do the mirroring, they do all those things. And then once they got you locked in, then they start becoming their true selves and they start
married, barefoot, pregnant.
Tearing you down and making you feel less than, and, you know, blowing up your self-esteem where there's like just bits and pieces of shreds of it left. And, and then you're like, what the fuck, what did I do? Like, why doesn't he love me like he used to in the beginning? Right. And it's,
but then you slowly start to, like, when he met me, I was outgoing, drinking, you know, had friends, wearing makeup, wearing fun clothes, you know, all this stuff. And then I slowly became this housewife who never went out, never drank, wore grandma panties, wore no makeup, no perfume, sports bras. Like I morphed into whatever he wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, what happened? Like, didn't you get with me when I was this wild, crazy, fun person? And then now you've morphed me into like elderly grandma who doesn't do anything, but I allowed it. I allowed it. It wasn't his fault. I allowed that behavior. Like, you know, that was all me. So the whole changing, I just want to, like, I hope all young girls and boys both, like, if you're getting into a relationship and you think this'll stay or this'll get better, I hope it stays, you know, but the second you see that things start to change and wording and behavior and threats or, you know, you do this if you love me type of behavior starts, like, run.
Yeah.
Run for the hill.
And the hope and potential thing is huge because so many people end up staying longer than they should have just because they're holding on to that hope, right? The potential. If he were to change, then this would work out. If he would treat me differently, if he stopped doing this, if he stopped drinking, if he was home more, if only he was this other, right? There's the potential that the relationship could work out if only.
If only he didn't have the mother he had, he'd be different.
Right? It's like,
so but I mean, he does. Point, yeah, but he does. Really right.
Stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look at the reality of the situation, not the hope, not the potential, but what results are actually in front of you. What have you actually been getting? And then that's what you have to base your decision on, because hope dies last. Yeah. You can hold on to hope for decades, right? I mean, that is the last shred of thing to go. And so that's one of the hardest things for you to let go of, is to really just face the truth, the reality of the situation, and base your decisions off of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. In addition to love, can I connect to feelings of respect, trust, and admiration for this person?
No.
Yeah, that's a great question.
It is, because I think everybody says like, well, I love him, you know, or I love her, and so I got to stay. But when you start throwing those other words,
No,
I don't feel those things anymore. I think
is probably usually the first to go.
Yeah.
Well, in my experience.
Exactly. And I've always hated that when parents get divorced and they say, well, I still love your mom, even though we're not. No, you don't.
Right.
Like, and maybe you, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I'm just saying.
You could care about that. I mean, I don't know.
I don't love. I mean, I never told my kids that. Like, hey, you know what? Your dad and I are not in love anymore. I respect him that he has his house, his rules, his policies over there for you, but I am not in love with him anymore. Like, I'm not in love with any of my old boyfriends anymore. Like, so why am I going to, just because we have kids together, I don't have this, like when he walks in a room, I'm not like, oh, I'm so excited. No, I don't have love for him at all. Yeah. So I'm not going to lie to my kids and say that. But even married, I think that was, as I was contemplating divorce, it was like, I didn't love him and I almost feared him. It got to the point where I was fearing him coming home and fearing his reaction and fearing his words and fearing how he would talk to me and stuff. And so it was like, that's definitely not love. But when you start throwing all those other words you just said, no, right, those were lost way before. Too.
And sometimes maybe you do still love, like, it, let's say that your partner is the one that decided on divorce and that wasn't something you wanted. And maybe you do still love them, but then you have to ask yourself those other questions. Well, why, like, you know, the respect and admiration, why do I want someone
who doesn't want me?
Right.
And then I would read a book.
Worth issue.
If I still thought I was in love with somebody, and we get these clients a lot, if I still thought I was in love with somebody that wrecked my heart and cheated on me or just wanted to end the marriage or something, I would then go read a codependency book and figure out, am I really still in love with this person, or have I just become codependent and I don't trust myself alone, or I don't recognize myself alone.
Right.
And that's why I'm so like fiending for this relationship to still exist, because I don't know myself independently.
Yeah. Or you're just afraid of being alone. I mean, that was me for sure. I was staying in relationships that were awful because it was better than just being by myself. Like, at least I was with somebody. I mean, that's really where I got it at certain points. And so,
that fear. Yeah. Boyfriend, never being alone, because thinking that's like status quo. You like all through high school, that's what you got to have. You had to have a boyfriend in college, got to date the same guy. You know, like, it was just like, I was never really alone until I hit a rock bottom co-parenting phase. Then I spent 2 years where I didn't date, touch, look, nothing at anybody. And those 2 years were my growth years. Those two years where I pulled my head out of my ass and figured out who I was and became a badass. And I depended on no one. But it was honestly the first time since like fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And that sounds so sad that I was like 32, 33 years old before I was ever independent with nobody being in the suggestion box with me.
Right. Right. Like, same. I mean, I started dating when I was like 14, I think. And like, and I was just always like a serial monogamous, just one relationship to the next. And I was like terrified of being alone. But it was when I was like, well, I'm just going to have to fucking figure it out. Right. Cause like, I don't want to keep finding myself in this situation over and over.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need to figure it out. And that was the best thing. That was the most empowering time of my life, is when I just figured out how to do it all on my own, how to get a new job so I could afford it. I was living in this teeny, ugly little townhouse, but it was all I could afford. It was for my daughter and I, and I was doing it. I was doing all the things by myself. And that made me feel so strong and so much more confident and so much more picky about the people that I was getting into relationships with or dating or talking to, because I was like, no, like, I'm good. Like, I've got this on lockdown, right? Like, I've got this figured out. So unless you're going to add a lot of value to my life, it's just not going to work.
I think it also makes you so much more appealing to other people to date, because like you are sitting over there, they're watching you or learn about you and start to introduce themselves to you. And you're like, yeah, I do this all on my own. You know, like, I know that's why our two spouses are with us now, is because we were killing it as a single person and doing it well. And it made us so attractive.
Right.
To them, you know, because we didn't need them for anything. And I didn't need them for shit.
Yeah, it totally changes the dynamic of the relationship.
There's no power to have them take from you, because I honed every part of myself, my body, my finances, my mental state, my kids, everything was mine. There was nothing like, I need you to help me. No, I didn't need shit from you.
Right.
And so I was giving no power away at the beginning of the relationship. There was no ownership of my love or my feeling, nothing. I was like, I own mine. This is how I feel about me. And, you know, you can tag along if you want, but I don't need you to be here. Mm-hmm. And it was such a different feeling than this whole, like, will he say yes when I send my friend over to ask him out for me? Cause I'm too much of a scaredy cat when I'm a junior in high school. You know, like, it was stupid stuff like that I'd done my whole life. And then when Jared walked in, it was like, I own this. This is who I am. If you don't like it, don't stick around. But I'm not molding to nothing.
Right.
You know,
right. And either this works for you or it doesn't.
Like, right. And problem. I think we see people, like, I had a client not too long ago inside one of my classes, and she was talking about how she's not divorced yet and her boyfriend already lives with her. And she was talking about all these issues with her children and her divorce. And I was just like, sister, like, I'm not telling you that you're not ready to date, but there's a lot of red flags in your own life. And then trying to have this relationship on top of all the stuff that's currently going on that you can't have control. Like, that's a lot. It's a lot of pressure on that relationship to be working right in the midst of kids issues, divorce issues, and building a new foundational, like, that's like, let's just focus on you for a little bit during this time period, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, you're trying to tackle too many things all at the same time, and all of them need emotional support. And so that's the one thing I worry about. And I did it, you know, I jumped into a relationship as soon as I got divorced. I thought I was ready. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the best one either, and didn't work, right? Because I wasn't ready for that relationship to work, but it was a good distraction, but it was all wrong. So, what's the last one? Is there one more?
Last question. This one's so good. And it's super telling of like where you're at. If you could wave a magic wand and skip past the discomfort of that post breakup period to 12 months from now, would you exercise that option?
Hell yeah.
That's such a good question. Yeah. It's like, okay, if I could just skip all the shit that I'm like worried about and all the shitty attorneys and the breakup, right? And like the broken heart. If I could just like skip that and to a year from now where I'm feeling good, would I do that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like somebody said, it's definitely not the same person I married. You know, I wouldn't consider Jared and I've been together 8 years. Not that we're married, but we've lived as if we are. On paper is the only thing that would be different for us.
Right.
Jared's not the same person he was 8 years ago. I'm not the same person, but we've respected how we've changed over the years. Like we got together, I was a parent of two. He was a parent of none. He became a stepdad. Then he became a dad. Mm-hmm. And like, so we've evolved, but we've respected the evolving,
yes.
You know, and we've changed together. And it's not like, you're not the person I got with. Well, no shit. I hope not. It's been eight fucking years.
And I think that's the thing is like the society is still shaming people for getting a divorce. It's like you agreed you'd be together forever. Yeah, but like that it has to work. It's not just like, oh, I'm staying because I told them I would stay. It's like, is this healthy? Is this working for us? Right. And, you know, because people do change. And I think that's kind of the make or break of relationships a lot of times is, are you growing together or are you growing apart? And if you're growing apart, then you've got to be real about that and and then say, okay, this isn't working. Like we're not in the same place because relationships you are supposed to be an individual that grows and evolves and figures out who you are and follows your dreams and has goals and accomplishes things and goes places. And so is your partner supportive and kind of going with you and growing with you and doing their own thing too? Or are they just completely on a different path? And if so, and that bothers you or that causes additional issues and other problems arise because you guys are so just not on the same path anymore, then I think it's not only okay, but healthy. It's a good decision to say, well, then this isn't working for us anymore.
Yeah. But it's usually one person. I think when we're dealing with a lot of our clients, it's one person that can see that we're not on the same path anymore, or I've grown and you haven't, and you've stayed still and stagnant in your life, and you're not coming and journeying on with me or for your own self. Mm-hmm. And it becomes hostile because that person that's never evolved and that has never grown as a person, challenged himself, tried something new, you know, and is just on the same every single day, that person gets their feelings so hurt and bitterness comes out. And that's where that anger, then the hostility of the divorce going ugly. Because one person has, and it's not like that one's better than the other. It's just that I don't want to stay where you're at and I want to change and see into new things. And it's really
not that
hard.
But are they holding you back? Right. It's like, they don't have to necessarily want to do all the same stuff or think all the same things, but are they still supporting you and respecting you? And are they still your cheerleader do you feel like it's holding you back from really being who you're supposed to be?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine Jared ever saying, no, you can't do that.
Right.
But my ex did every single time I asked to do something, you know, where Jared's like, go do it. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, and it's not even I'm asking. It's more like, hey, do you got the kids? I need to go do this. 100%. Just like he gets to go all day long and do whatever the hell he wants. And I'm not like, no, you need to stay home. You know, like that conversation would never come from either one of us.
Right.
Ever.
Right. And that's just a sign of like a super healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be little things. It could be big things. Like a couple of years ago, my husband and I were in Hawaii and I have never been to a nude beach and I really wanted to go to one just because I wanted to like experience what like
Hell, yeah.
that's all about. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, yeah, I think I want to do it. Cause I'm much more of like a, like impulsive person. He's more like a, you know, he's my rock.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't think I really want to go, but like, do your thing. Like if you really want to go. Right. So he wasn't like, no, you can't go do that. Or like, no, you're not going to. Right. He's like, well, I don't know if that's my thing, but go for it. Like have fun, you know?
We went to one, I don't even know where we were. Costa Rica, maybe. Yeah, I think we were in, I don't even know. No, Punta Cana. That's where we were. It was for a business trip. We had won a free trip through with my old job. And we saw
you went there with coworkers?
Well, I was part of an MLM. So the MLM lets you go. So yes, it was with people I knew.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was this Garden of Eden. And what we were attracted to was no kids. So we were like, let's go. Let's go to the pool that has no kids.
Yeah, right.
And when we got there.
On me or building sandcastles.
Yeah, when we got there, there wasn't very many people there. And because it had just opened. So we were sitting there, had cocktails, whatever. It was back when I drank. And we were drinking. And then all of a sudden, people started showing up. And girls were just, women were just taking off their tops. And Jared was like, I love this place. And I was like, I think I'm going to do it. And he's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So I did it. And of course it was just a topless, I think it was topless. I don't know if you could, I think it was just topless. And so, coworkers, people that I knew started to come and they were taking off their tops and it was the most empowering thing. And we took pictures of each other, like pictures that we could post, but you could see that we were naked, you know? And it was, but he was like the biggest cheerleader of like, do it. Like if this is what you want to do, then do it, you know? And there is no way on this God's green earth that my ex-husband would have ever let me do that.
Right.
It would have been hell to the
nose. Fights.
Oh my God. We would have been in the hotel, you know, arguing and bitching and moaning, you know, I can't even imagine. I don't even think we've been on the same plane ride home. It would have been so toxic. And then here's Jared, like, hell yeah, let's do it. And
right.
He's over there like, see that? And I'm like, it was a good time, you know? Like, I think that's when you find somebody that you can be your authentic self with, it's a no-brainer that person is for you. There's no judgment from that person. There's no anything. I could say, you know what? I think I want to start wearing high heels every day. He'd be like, do you, boo? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm here for back support if you need a rub down. Like, he's not going to be like, well, I think that's stupid.
Yeah.
And I've never been around a man that's like that. You know, I've always attracted the controlling type. I've always attracted the authoritative, bigger than me, I'll talk down to you type. And when you finally get to that place where you're talking authoritative to everybody, like you are in control, like you have the power and you don't look for that anymore. You attract somebody that knows you have your shit and your decision is your decision. They're not ever going to challenge it. Like I know Jared wouldn't challenge me because he just knows I know my own self and knows what I want for myself. And it's just, I hope my daughter finds that. I hope my son has that, you know, that they in their relationships hold their own power and they don't give it to anyone else. So if you're giving it to someone else in your marriage and they own a lot of your power, some of these questions probably hurt because you were like, oh shit, I know exactly what I need to be doing. And we're your people, you know, we're your people to help. So we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. If you know somebody that is sitting on that fence of like, this is the episode for them, send this over to them and say, answer these questions authentically and honestly, and tell me what you think. But honestly, right now it is March 7th. So as Leah Marie said, the whole month of March, if you want to get inside the next chapter or inside of our group coaching, you get grandfathered in at the price that you purchase at this month of March. So if you're listening to this after March and it's April 1st and beyond, the new prices are up, but also we're giving so much more in those things.
Tons of stuff. Yes.
So absolutely. So take a look at the links that are all posted wherever you're watching this from, and we will see you at the next episode. Bye everybody.